Good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. This is episode 242. And it's great to be together for another afternoon, be able to open up God's word. We're going to be turning through to Matthew chapter 25 and considering some of the parables of Jesus. We're thinking about some virgins today. That sounds like a really weird thing to say, but that's what the parable's about. But before we turn to it, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would use it to feed us. Would you help us to think rightly? Would you apply it to our hearts? We recognize that without your Holy Spirit, we will never understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, we're turning through to chapter 25 and reading the first 13 verses and looking at the first parable of Jesus. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like the virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish ones took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps as the bridegroom was delayed. They all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all these virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. Those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Yesterday we looked at chapter 24 again and considered some of the implications in that chapter for the return of Christ. Or I should say, the implications that come from the return of Christ. So Christ assures his disciples that he's going to return. He says we don't know when, and then he pointed out three things. He said, don't be led astray. Make sure you're not led astray. Make sure that you're not alarmed, and make sure that you're not caught off guard. Now Jesus is going to tell three parables which open up further how we should live given the fact that Jesus is going to return one day. So because we know that Jesus is returning, because Jesus has promised that, because Jesus is going away, how should we live? Now it's very important for us at this point, because it's going to help as we unpack, especially one of the other parables. It's very important for us to realize the time in which these parables are given. If you turn with me to chapter 26, you'll see that these parables come out just before the death of Jesus Christ. So in a sense, this is one of the last public statements of Jesus. Or, if it's not public, it's the last teaching of Jesus with his disciples. Back in chapter 24, in verse 3, we saw that all the disciples came together privately and talked to him. So 25 is probably just a follow-on from that, which would mean it's the last public-private teaching of Jesus. He probably has most of his disciples with him, and he's teaching them all. But notice what happens in this parable. I'm sure most of us are probably quite familiar with it. We have these 10 virgins, the 10 women coming to celebrate the marriage feast. They're coming along to join and celebrate with the bride and the groom, and they're waiting for the bridegroom to turn up. And we're told that there's 10 of them, half that are wise, half that are unwise. Now, remember, we're thinking about the going away and the returning of Jesus. Of course, we don't want to go into every aspect of this parable and say, well, the oil equals this and the virgin equals this. Very simple, big picture. Parables should generally be understood as big picture. So, we're dealing with Jesus going away. So Jesus is the bridegroom, obviously. Jesus has gone away. And then there are these 10 virgins who have been waiting for him to return. So, of course, we're thinking about the disciples and those that would come after the disciples, you and I, and what we are to do, how we are to act as we wait for Christ to come back again. And there are three lessons because, you know, it's always three. There are three lessons that come from the foolish and wise virgins. Notice, firstly, that the wise virgins are prepared. So we see in chapter 25, verse 2, five of them were foolish, five of them were wise. Four, the foolish took their lamps, but they didn't take any extra oil, verse 4, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. So the wise ones are prepared. They're prepared whether the bridegroom takes a short time or a long time. If the bridegroom was to take just 15 minutes, it wouldn't matter. They'd have some extra oil, but that wouldn't matter. They would be ready for him. But if the bridegroom was to take a long time, they would have extra oil that they can fill up their lamp with. And of course, it's a picture, isn't it? It's a picture for the disciples, for you and I, of how we are to treat life. We are to be prepared for the return of Christ, whether he comes today or whether he comes in 50 years or in the next millennia. We are to live life in such a way that we're prepared now and we're prepared then. What does that mean? Well, it means that we seek to be ready today. Not wasting today. We're ready today and we're living life as though he could come back in a long time. So, you still think about what you're going to do in 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. We don't live as though there's no tomorrow, and yet we live as though today could be the last day. So there's this sense of both a live for today and live for tomorrow. The world tends to do one or the other. They tend to say, live for today because it doesn't really matter what happens tomorrow. You could die. Or they say, live for when you're an old person, start saving, panic about your retirement. Christians have that wonderful position of being able to hold both of those in tension. So we live for today. We strive with all our might today for Christ, knowing that he could come today. And yet we plan and think and apply all of today to tomorrow and the next day, knowing that Jesus might not come back in my lifetime. But not only are the wise virgins prepared, but the wise virgins are intentional. And this naturally flows out of being well prepared, isn't it? You see, they don't just turn up with a little bit of stuff. They don't just turn up with their pots in hand like the foolish ones, but they have the flask, they have the pot, they've thought ahead of time. And it's a great reminder for us that we are to be intentional in this lifetime. It will do you no good to get to the end of your life and say, well, I never really thought about it. It will do you no good to have Christ come back in 10 years and you say, well, I didn't live for you because I expected to live a lot longer, or I expected you to come back sooner, so I didn't bother. It will do you no good to aimlessly wander through your life and expect to be commended in the life to come. No, God wants us to live intentionally. I know it's a bit of a taboo subject to talk about in a grace-centered world, church, in a gospel-focused community, to talk about intentionality and working hard and zeal and stuff like that. People get very sensitive about that type of language, but God calls us to be faithful stewards. He calls us to apply ourselves well. And so we should be asking ourselves questions. In what way am I intentionally preparing for tomorrow? In what way am I intentionally ensuring that I have a flask of oil with me? Am I working today to store up riches in heaven? Am I working today to have a bountiful harvest in my spiritual life? Am I actually working towards something? I mean, we're all very good at being intentional about our money. Well, maybe not all of us, but some of us are good at being intentional with our money, intentional with our families, intentional with very many different things. But how intentional are you about the way you read the scriptures? Have you sat down and thought to yourself, well, I want to know lots about Jesus in this life, regardless of how old or young I am, so I'm going to create a plan. How many of you have sat down and thought to yourself, it would be good to pray for my church, so I'm going to intentionally create a plan that enables me to pray for everybody in my church? Most of us don't do that, do we? We seem to think that because it's spiritual, it's more holy if we just wander. God is a God of order, and we should be too. So we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. We need to be intentional. But then notice lastly that the wise virgins are welcomed, whereas the foolish ones are turned away. So the bridegroom comes in verse 9 and 10. As the bridegroom comes, the wise virgins go in, and then in verse 11 and 12, the foolish ones are ejected, or rejected, I should say. And of course, it's a picture, isn't it, of the outcome of our life. If we live intentionally, and if we are prepared for the return of Christ, then we will welcome the day when Christ returns. This passage is not explaining to us how the wise virgins got saved. It's not talking about whether you're justified by faith or justified by works. We know from the rest of Scripture that we're justified by faith. But what Jesus is pointing out is that it matters how you live your life. You are called to be intentional, to be prepared, to be watchful, Jesus says in verse 13. Watch, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Jesus doesn't want his people to be apathetical or lazy. Jesus doesn't want his people to not care about this life and about this world and about their faith. He wants us to be proactive. He wants us to be busy. Not overly busy, not killing ourselves, but he wants us to be fruitful. And we're going to see that in some of the other parables. And so the challenge for you and I is, if we were to look at our lives in terms of these wise virgins and these foolish virgins, where would we fall? If it was us outside that day, would we have an empty lamp or a full lamp? I think most of us, unfortunately, tend to fall onto the side of the foolish ones. Not many of us have the problem of over-preparing, do we? Most of us under-prepare, are under-intentional, are not working hard. And I think we need to be reminded that it is good to focus upon eternity. It's good to prepare for the return of Christ in such a way that honors him and glorifies him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity, and we pray that you would help us to be like these wise women. Help us to pursue Christ intentionally and to be prepared for his return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for joining me for another daily devotion. Great to be together. See you back here tomorrow. As always, please like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. It's very helpful for the YouTube algorithm. It makes it appear to more people, thus giving more people the word. Check out Founded in Grace, and I will see you tomorrow.